good. Praise God. Alrighty, well, turn to someone and say, my hope is in God. Yes, absolutely. Praise God. Well, I want to share with you this morning about five different people: Zacharias, Mary, Abraham, the two lepers, or was it three? I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. And Nicodemus, all who asked the question, how can this be? They were confronted with a situation that God was promising them would turn out for good. And their response was, how? How can this be? The mountain was too big. Their Goliath was too ugly. And their lack seemed to overwhelm anything that God could possibly do. When you think about it, it's silly, isn't it? Is anything too hard for God? God can do anything. He created the whole world. He can do what he likes with it. But, you know, we find ourselves in a similar situation where we have received a word from God, a promise from God, just something even as simple as a hope from God. And our heart responds, but how? How can this be? How can this happen to me? When will I see? How will I see the reality of this transpiring in my life? And I want to look at the different responses that these people had, and hopefully we'll all learn something. So let's go to Luke chapter 1 and look at Zach. Chapter 1, verse 8. Zacharias was a good bloke, and he was serving in the temple. And it says, both he and his wife, verse 6, Luke chapter 1, you found Luke chapter 1. Do people actually bring Bibles to church these days, or are we all so highly technical that we just flick on our iPhones or whatever? Whatever you've got there, I don't know, some of you might have memorized it. Luke chapter 1, oh, we haven't prayed. God, thank you. I need you. I need you to preach this message. Hallelujah. Lord, let the people hear your voice through my voice this morning. Everyone said, amen. Okay, so verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the law, blameless. Well, thank God we're in the new covenant right now, and the Holy Ghost has taken care of that through Jesus. We are all righteous and blameless in his sight. Someone say amen. It's not works anymore. Well, there would be very few of us who would be in verse 6 of Luke chapter 1. All right? So just wipe your brow, turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay. You're righteous before God and blameless. Turn to somebody. Come on. You are righteous before God. All right, now say it about yourself. I am righteous before God and blameless. That's the word. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well and advanced in years. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn the incense when he went. So he was just going about his daily affairs. This was like Zacharias normus operandi. Okay? He was just going about a normal day. And God showed up. And God showed up and said, hey, Zach, you know those prayers that you prayed 40, 50, 60 years ago when you were just a young fella, believing me for a child. Woohoo! Delivery day. You know, sometimes the prayers of our youth are answered in our old age. No prayer uttered in faith is ever wasted. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything in his name, not our name, his name, he hears us. Right there, God hears us. He even hears your thoughts. And if we know, and that's the key right there, if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. He's a good God. He just, what sort of a God would give you a desire for something and keep it from you? He's a good God. He gives us the desires and then he wants to fulfill the desires of our heart. Because that's the kind of God he is. I believe he creates expectation in our hearts just so that we might enjoy the taste of the fulfillment of it. Sometimes the longer we wait for something, the greater the joy in its fulfillment. And I don't know why some things don't come to pass until our old age, but I do know no prayer uttered in faith is wasted. And here is Zacharias waiting his whole life for a child. And he's just going about his daily business. It wasn't any special day. And your special day will be just any other day too. And sometimes in the ordinariness of it all, it doesn't seem like our answer has come. Sometimes it shows up in ways we don't expect, and we don't see God in it. And that's why Jesus said, you know, if you ask anything in my name, it shall be done for you. But when I show up, will the Son of Man find faith in the earth? Will your faith still be there? Will you be expectantly waiting for what it is you've been asking me for all this time? And so when I show up, you don't go, huh? What? How can this be? Because that's exactly what Zacharias said. It wasn't, yes, this is it. This is my moment. Where was his faith? Let's have a look. Luke chapter 1, verse 18. This is what he says. After praying all these years and believing God, he says, Zacharias said to the angel, I never mentioned it, but the angel, verse 11, I better do that. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar, and Zacharias saw him. He was troubled and fear fell on him. And the angel said, do not be afraid, Zach, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, well, I was going to say Lizzie, but I thought, no, I'm getting silly here, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Well, we have nicknames. Why can't they have nicknames? Hey, I'm sure they had nicknames. And you will have joy. Say joy. And gladness. And many will rejoice. Okay, but here's Zacharias, verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. I guess by this stage, he'd pretty much given up. This was one of those prayers that God wasn't going to answer. The question Zacharias is asking is one affecting the very fact itself. He's basically saying, God, I can't see how this is going to, how is this possibly going to happen? Thus betraying that he's laboring under a lack of faith here. Mary, later on, will have a look. She asked the same question, but her questioning was more regarding the manner in which it would happen. She wasn't questioning the fact that it would. She was just saying, well, you know, can we talk a little more about this? Because this seems a little strange to me. I'm open to the possibility, but how is this going to work, God? But she wasn't doubting, but Zacharias was doubting. So here's the first person we're looking at this morning asking the question, how can this be? Zacharias' response was, can't see it, God. So the angel says in verse 19, listen, mate, I'm Gabriel. Do you know who I am? I'm God's special messenger of good news. I've been sent all the way from heaven to tell you something very special just for you. And I have it on good authority because I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you these good tidings. And what do I get from you? Yes, God. No, I get, how can this be? Can't you see? Oh, great Gabriel, how old I am. And have you seen my wife lately? So the angel says, all right. This is actually, you know, usually he would cancel his prayer right there. Usually a lot of Christians, they spend their whole life praying for something and then just before it shows up, they cancel it by saying something like, oh, well, I guess I missed that one. You know, your words are powerful. Your words create reality and cancel the provision of God. Mary got it right. She said, let it be to me according to your word. And this guy was about to say, can't see it. Sorry, ain't going to happen. This was too important for this guy to muck up because his wife was going to give birth to John the Baptist. And he was a pretty important piece of God's furniture for this hour. You know, God needed John the Baptist. And he wasn't about to have Zechariah get in the road. So the angel says, alrighty, I can see we have a problem here. Lord, with your permission, Zacharias, I am striking you dumb. So you can't say anything between now and when the child is born, because I can't afford to have your confession wreck the salvation of the human race. You will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Say, they will be fulfilled. The word God has spoken to me. The word God has spoken to me. Say it. The word God has spoken to me will be fulfilled. Will be fulfilled. See, we have a responsibility to have a response when God gives us a promise, not to say, oh, how can this be? Like Zechariah did, but like Mary, tell me more. How can this be? Two different ways of responding. Same words, completely different response. Let's go to Mary, Luke chapter. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Just a little bit further down here. Okay, here's Mary's turn. Same angel. I'll bet he's hoping. Gee, I hope this girl's got a few clues, because I don't want to have to shut her up as well. You know, can't have the body of Christ walking around deaf, dumb, blind. Come on, people, get a clue. So he shows up. Luke 1, verse 18. Did I say 26? Yeah, I did. I said 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel, am I shouting or is this okay? Too loud? All good? If I get too excited, just calm me down. Just do this. Come on. Down, boy. Down. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God. Say, by God. Sometimes we think that's just our thinking, you know. The Holy Spirit is in us and he's talking to us. We're hearing from God. These things come from God. That was for somebody. Where was I? Now in the sixth, what are you laughing at? Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, say Gabriel. Same angel, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, consider what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. But she's basically asking the question, well, because you can look further on, you can see she's full of faith for it. She's just basically saying, whoa, can you talk to me a little more about that? What's this going to look like? Because I don't know a man, and by my understanding, the only way I'm going to get a child is to know a man. So, you know, I know I'm betrothed to Joseph, but, you know, we're not married yet, and I guess in the connotation, the angel was saying it's going to happen now, so she's thinking, well, I don't know, how's this going to work? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. There's something in there, by the way, right there. If you're asking God, how can this be? Same Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary lives in you. He's not overshadowing nothing. He's in you. The power of the Highest. Says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's the thing. We're asking this question, how can this be? We're in the flesh. We're acting like mere mortals. We're acting like God isn't supernatural. We're acting like he's not even there. It's like we're just so into the natural realm and the way things are done, you know, the laws of physics and nature and everything. It's like we forget that there's a higher power. There's a higher law operating. And the creator of the universe lives in us, and he's speaking to us, and he's telling us things that he wants to do for us. And we're saying, how can this be? Well, this is a good response right here. The power of the highest will overshadow you. You know, I've seen God do things in my life that have totally blown my mind. And afterwards I thought, how the heck did that happen? And it occurred to me that I didn't have much to do with it, except say, let it be. I gave permission to God to move on my behalf. He said, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. See, God's a lovely big, lovely big daddy who wants to do things for us. And we're so independent and so work, you know, brainwashed. We think we've got to deserve it, we've got to earn it, and we've got to make it happen for ourselves. And God says, no. You know what I dream about sometimes? I dream about making so much money that I can just call my kids up and say, hey, your dad's a millionaire now. How much do you want? If you've got kids, haven't you ever had that thought? Now, you don't want to spoil them, and there's a sense there where they need a work ethic so they can appreciate what you're giving them, but don't you just want to bless your kids? Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, despite her husband's protestations. And this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say, with God. That's the key right there. How can this be? Well, it depends where you're looking. It depends who your source is. With God, say, with God. Those two words change everything. Put those two words into your situation. With God, nothing. Nothing. See, God is saying, listen, I made everything and I am in control of everything. I am Lord, I am God, and there is nothing that will come between me and what I purpose to do. Nothing. And if there's something you want and you've got the faith for it, nothing will be impossible. Nothing's going to stop that. Impossible isn't a word that God understands, because he can do anything. We live in a world of severe limitation and restriction. And our experience teaches us that life can be tough. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and the very best that life has to offer. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. That's a key right there, hearing from God. And the angel departed from her. Let it be to me. Say, let it be to me. And let's go to verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is Elizabeth visiting Mary and saying, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Trying to kickstart a little bit of faith here this morning, because I think sometimes we get into a mode of just being human again. You know, I was thinking about my testimonies on the way into church this morning. I was thinking, you know, I've had some incredible testimonies of how God's provided for me right from when I was a student, and he gave me a piano. And, you know, I didn't know much about naming and claiming it, and I know that, you know, there's some preachers who have given that particular expression a bad name, and, you know, and I understand all that, but, you know, there's a truth there. I heard about naming it and claiming it, so I went to an auction. I needed a piano. I was a music student at university. I needed a piano to practice on, and I had to do my bit. I thought, well, you know, God, I need a piano. Please give me a piano. I don't have enough money. I've only got $25. $25. What are you going to do with $25? Admittedly, it was, you know, like 40 years ago, but still, $25 even back then was $25. Wasn't much. So I went to an auction, and I played all the pianos that were there, and there were some really nice ones, and there were some not so nice ones, and this one was full of bora, but man, it had a great tone. And I didn't care about the bora. The bora holding hands was the only thing holding it together. It was riddled with holes. But it had a great tone. I thought, I like this. I like this piano. Thought, all right, just make sure nobody was looking because I didn't want to be embarrassed, but I did the scriptural thing. I laid my hands on it and I said, this one, God, this is the one I want. I claim it in Jesus' name. And then the auction started. And the amazing thing was, as soon as I laid hands on the piano, the Holy Spirit said to me, who will contend with you? In other words, it's mine. Nobody's even going to bid. It's mine. The auction started. And straight away, when it got to my piano, see, I was calling it my piano, someone bid on it. And I was like totally flabbergasted. That's what faith is. When you're flabbergasted that things don't turn out the way you ask them to be. That's faith. When your shock, surprise is, wait a minute, that's my piano. That I asked for that one. Not that one or that one or that. This is the one I asked for. And he is bidding on my piano. And God said, who will contend with you? He shouldn't even be bidding. He doesn't even have a right to my piano. I've named it and claimed it. Where is the audacity of faith in the body of Christ? In this crowd, our crowd, my family. Where is it? Because that's what Jesus said. He says, when I come with answers to prayer, where is your faith? Where is that audacious believing that I will do what I said I will do for my kids? But I'm looking for the faith. I'm looking for the lambano, the self-prompted taking of what I have already provided. Where is it? Instead of saying, how can this be? I'm looking for, let it be. I know I'm shouting, but I'm getting excited. Can you get excited with me? Because if you can catch the spirit of faith behind what I'm saying, your life will not be the same when you leave this building. This place should be full of people listening to what I have to say this morning. So, somebody else spit on my piano. And I'm like, God, you said, who will contend with thee? It's a scripture. And then it got up to $25, which was all I had. And I was sort of like, I'd never been to an auction before. I didn't have a clue what to do, so I put my hand up. But by then, the gamble had already gone down. The man looked at me and said, you must bid up, sir. Sold to the man over here. And I'm standing there like, I'm in shock. I named it. I claimed it. It was my piano. I heard God say to me, who will contend with you? And I was so disappointed. I was just a young Christian. I was just experimenting with this. Whatever you ask for in prayer, you shall receive, believing. And I was believing. So how come? Bernie, who was a flatmate of mine, he was with me and he just leaned over and he says, why don't you go and ask the guy if he wants to sell it? I said, why would he want to sell it? He's just bought it. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, why don't you go and ask him if he wants to sell it? And I knew it was the voice of God. I knew I heard it. So I went up to him and I said, look, I know you just bought my piano. I know you just bought this piano, but I would really like it. Would you consider selling it to me? And he said, here's my number. Get back to me later in the week. I went home. I fasted and I prayed. I named it and I claimed it. I was on my knees believing God. He calls me up. Well, I gave him my number. He calls me up and he says, do you still want that piano? And I says, you're darn right, I want my piano. And he said, oh, well, and he gave me his address. and Billy Blair and me and a couple of other guys. It was in Dunedin. It was one of those streets that go like this, you know, and there was no road, and we had to wheel the piano on two casters down the edge of the concrete footpath under the snake serpentine all the way down. It's like, God didn't make, sometimes he doesn't make it easy to pick up your promise, you know, but I didn't mind, and I got that thing home, and I said, God, I paid him $25 for it. He says, God, I don't understand this. It works. Someone else actually got my promise, but I eventually got it. But you said no one would contend with me. How come they even bidded when you said they wouldn't even bid? And he said, I said nobody would contend with you. He contended for you. He bought the key, he bought the piano for you before you bid it up to $100, more than you could afford. He got it for you for $25 before you even got a chance to get a bid in, so that I could give it to you for what you could afford with what you had. And I thought, God gave me a piano, and I did my best to get it, and I just would have got on the road. He just left me right out of it. But in honor of my faith, I named it and claimed it. Now, you know, I've done that with a car, with my piano, with a job, with a house, with financial provision, with I don't know what. You know, I mean, I have just seen God come through on so many miraculous occasions. I wish I could tell you some more testimonies like that. But you know, if it matters to you, it matters to God. And it doesn't matter what it is, big or small. How can this be? Well, God can get it to you if you'll function in the faith that Jesus said in his word, whatsoever you desire, believing, you shall receive. The key is how we hear. The key is how we respond to a promise from God. So I'm going to give you three keys right now that I have put in place in my life that have really helped me receive from God big time. How should we respond to a promise from God? Number one, hearing is really important. Hearing God speak to you personally. And instead of trying to figure out how God's going to get it done, just say, let it be. That's an important part of the hearing. Did God say? Then let it be. And not listen to your own mind or ask the question, how can this be? Just say, let it be. Did you get that? Once you've heard from God, you don't say like Zacharias, how can this be? That's all right to ask God for a little more information so that you can process a few things. But it's really important to do what Mary did. As soon as the Holy Ghost came back, or the angel, and said a little bit more to her about how God was going to, you know, give her the son Jesus in her womb, she says, oh, okay, all right, let it be. Now that was even still, like that. God didn't make it any easier for her. You know, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you and you're going to be pregnant by God. Like, we think of that as like, yeah, okay. But I mean, hello, it was the first time this had ever happened. This is a new concept for the human race. She had huge faith, didn't she? She had no idea how this was going to happen. She couldn't figure this out. All she could say was, okay, that's bigger than me, but let it be. Whoa. I never do my maths till I'm convinced I've heard from God. Otherwise, I'll just end up asking the question, how can this be? How is this possible? And I'll talk myself out of God's supernatural provision. See, when I went up to that piano, I didn't think, I don't think this is going to work, really. I mean, this is, you know, sometimes we know too much. See, to be honest with you, I don't know if I could do that today. I was too ignorant back then to know anything else. That's why Jesus said, unless you come as a little child. Now, I shouldn't say that I don't know if I could do that today. I guess what I'm saying is, I still can do that today, but I look back on those early days and I had an arrogance. I mean, it was a healthy thing. Arrogance is not the right word. An audacious spirit, a simplicity that just took God at his word. And God honored it. He blessed it. I know we can be presumptuous at times, and there's a difference between faith and presumption, but I think we err to the side of caution far too much. I told you how I got that job, didn't I, in the paper lily cups factory. Can I just tell you that one more time? Because it's such a good story. I was a student. I needed a job on the holidays. And I heard about paper lily cups in Henderson had a 12-hour night shift going that paid really good money because it was 12 hours, and it was overtime, and it was night shift, so they paid good money. And I wanted that job. So again, I just showed up and I said, hello, I'm a student and I would really like this job here. I need 7 weeks work and I'd like to work here, please. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, there are no vacancies, there are no positions. We don't have any work here for you. And I said, oh, because I'd already prayed and asked God. And I said, this is the one I want. And God said, if you believe, whatever you ask for in prayer, you shall receive. Now, how can this be? She was saying, how can this be? You know, it's like, we have no work here. But I had to correct her understanding of what it meant to have a vacancy there. Because Jesus said, ask what you will, it shall be done for you. The fact there's no vacancy doesn't mean that we can't create one, does it? No. Where's your faith? So I said, oh, well, now this is where I want a job. Here's my number. And when a vacancy comes up, call me. I went home and I didn't look for any other jobs. I didn't look in the newspaper. Didn't go on the internet because there wasn't an internet. And I just believed God. She calls me up that week, about 3 days later, and says, are you the person who asked for a job here for 7 weeks? I said, yes. She said, well, actually, we've just had someone break a leg and they'll be in a plaster cast for 7 weeks. I'm not saying God broke their leg. And it wasn't like, ah, yes, whew, the stuff really does work. It's like, oh, great, good, right? I was expecting a phone call. When can I start? I'm not showing off. I'm just saying I'm walking the talk. When we booked this building here 25 years ago, I walked in and the lady said to me, I'm sorry, we don't let churches have this building. And in my mind, I said, that doesn't make any difference. I've asked God for it. You don't own this. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof are his, and I'm working for him, and I am his ambassador and representative, and I said, I want this building. Thank you. Now, I never said that to her, but that's what's going through my mind. And I said, why not? And she said, we just don't. And I said, well, and I went home, and I fasted for a week. You don't have to fast to get answers from God, but sometimes it does set your heart in a place where you can actually hear better from God. And I said, well, God, I can't see why the council wouldn't rent this building to churches. I think that's unreasonable. What do you think? And he said, you've asked me for it. Go and ask again. So I did. And there was an office building just over there on the corner. I popped in. I said, hi, it's me again. And I still want this building. And I said, I still want this building. And she looks at me, and this vacant expression came across her face. She opened a drawer. She pulled out a sheet of paper. And these are her exact words. Sign this before I change my mind. Does God answer prayer? We are sitting in a building that the council was not going to give us. We had a video, an X-rated video store, start up right on the corner here. We've now got a pub. I haven't closed that down yet, but they had a video, X-rated video store right on the corner there. That came up, and I said, we're not having that there. I said, I curse the work of the enemy in that business. I said, we're shutting you down in the name of Jesus. A month later, it was gone. Your words carry the power and authority of an ambassador from heaven. They don't treat you like you are just anybody. Nobody. treats me like a nobody. Because I got God on my side. Whoa. And I got 1,000 angels behind me. When I say in Jesus' name, they back me up. Well, what point was I on? I never do my maths till I'm convinced I've heard from God. That's why I went home for a week and prayed. He says, well, do I have a right to this building? Do I have your permission? Is it something I can ask for? Is that one of those anythings that you talked about? I don't look at a mountain until I know it's under my feet. And the only time I look Goliath in the eye is so I know where to throw the stone. In other words, I don't consider the size of the problem till I've looked at my faith and I'm convinced in my heart that God has already given me my request. So be careful how you hear, and don't look at a problem until you know you are bigger on the inside than anything coming your way. One more example. When God told us to move to America to start a church over there, packed up my family, and we were moving. This wasn't a tourist trip, okay? We were not going on a holiday. We were moving. We had 23 suitcases. And I still remember the line. It went from like where those stairs are to the front of the stage and then along some, like in an L-shaped. And I didn't know you only had like 2 suitcases each, right? So there was my wife and I and Rebecca, who was like about 2, and Pam was pregnant, but that didn't count. So there was 3 of us. So I suppose max we would have been allowed 6 suitcases and maybe a carry-on, but 23? I was just doing what God told me to do. I was moving countries, and I was moving. So I had a bit of stuff. We sold most of it. We still had 23 suitcases. I mean, I had a 244, similar to that one that I got there, and I had a synthesizer. You know, I had a whole lot of other music gear and plus our suitcases and our luggage and stuff. We were moving. So we packed all our possessions. Some of it went on a crate, but, you know, a lot of it was in our suitcases. So the guy, I never forget the guy when I get up to the counter, he says, and your luggage? And I said, and he sort of looks at me and he just goes blank. And then he walks away and he brings in the supervisor or the manager or whatever. And the guy comes out and he has a look and he says, and then he walks away. And they just let us on. You know, if I'd had like 9 suitcases or 10 suitcases, he would have said, sir, you know, you're 6 suitcases over. We're going to have to charge you excess for those extra suitcases. But 23 suitcases? We never paid a dime. Sometimes the audacity of your faith commands a response in your favor that is unreasonable. Faith is unreasonable. It's not something that you can reason. It's beyond reason. And you know, I probably couldn't do that now because I know that you're only allowed 2 suitcases per person. But sometimes, you know, you can get away with stuff in your ignorance that God honors because you've got faith. He was just honoring, it was ignorant faith, but it was faith nevertheless. Sometimes we know too much. God honors faith. Sometimes the more you know, the less faith you have. Sometimes the power of belief is so strong, it can shape your environment unreasonably. God can respond to your faith in a way that will change the world in which you live. We're seriously running out of time. Let's go to Abraham, Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. He asks the same question. Oh, you know what? I need to land it. Will you give me 10 more minutes? If you don't want to give me 10 more minutes, then just walk out. I won't be offended. But you might just miss something. Next 10 minutes could land you something big. You could spend the rest of your life trying to work your way to getting something that God could give you in the next 10 minutes. Hey? I just said something, but I was joking with you. But I'm telling you, would you invest another 10 minutes to change the rest of your life? To save you having to work your butt off to get something for yourself when God has it for you? We'll go back to point number two. How should I respond to a promise from God? Number one, let it be, and don't do your maths till you're convinced you've heard from God. Okay? And number two, give praise. If you look at the rest of that verse with Mary, she says, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise his glorious name, whatever, blah, 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 blah. She's singing a psalm, she gives praise. And, you know, the more you give praise, the more you give thanks, the less opportunity you give your mind to kick in, to start. I have this happen to me all the time. I'll be preaching in a church service and I'll say something and I'll be under the anointing, and then I'll go home and I'm editing it and I'm taking bits out and, you know, making it palatable for the rest of the human race. And I think, did I say that? I think, I don't know if I should leave that in there or not. And I know there's a lady over in Australia I was speaking to. She says, I don't edit my tapes, she says, because I say things under the anointing. Later on, I'll listen to it, and my mind will kick in, and I'll think, how could I say that? And I'll take it out, and she said, but you know, I could be robbing somebody of something. And I don't know how I got onto that. But give praise, give thanks, because it'll stop your mind from starting to ask the question, how can this be? And just give thanks for the fact that it's going to happen, you know. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm not going to try and figure it out. That's your job. I'm dumb enough to know that I can't do that. You know, God, it's your job. How can this be? Haven't a clue. That's your department. You just made the promise, and I'm believing it. All right? Someone say amen.
Amen.
And thirdly, be careful who you talk to. For time's sake, I won't go there, but in Luke 2:19, someone was telling Mary about, you know, what Jesus was going to do and the impact that he would have on the human race. And it says, Mary pondered these things in her heart. She didn't go around talking about what God had promised her. She didn't cast her pearls before swine. See, we don't call people pigs, but Jesus said, be careful who you share your pearl with. It's not that people are pigs, but they don't understand what your pearl is. See, a pig is simply an animal that knows no difference between a pebble and a pearl. When he's rooting with his snout around in the dust, he's just trampling on pearls because he doesn't recognize what they are. And you don't share what God has given you, that precious pearl, with someone who has no kingdom understanding. You don't go and tell all your relatives who aren't saved. Or somebody's going to say, did God say? The devil's having enough go at you without someone else, without you giving opportunity for someone to rob what faith you have. I don't make a public announcement about what I'm believing God for till I have full assurance of faith and the deal's almost done anyway, you know? It's like, okay, you know, 5 months pregnant. I've got child by the Holy Ghost. Well, let's see how that turns out. Too late. I'm already pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So, but it says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine, or they will trample them in the dust because they don't understand its value. And then it says, and then they will turn and tear you. It will cost you if you can't keep your mouth shut. Trust me, I've been there many times. So let it be. Your response is, let it be, give praise, and be careful who you talk to. Okay. Abraham, you're in Genesis chapter 15. You've had plenty of time to get there. Verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body shall be your heir. He brought him outside, said, Abraham, look at the stars. And Abraham believed God, and it counted to him for righteousness. Verse 8, he said, how shall I know? How can this be? How shall I know? And God walked him through a sacrifice, cut an animal in half, and walked him through it. And we know that our sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And how can we know these things God has promised us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? He paid an incredible price. How shall we not know? The Bible says, how shall he not, having already freely given us his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The question is not how shall I know, it's how shall we not know? He's already given us Jesus. How can he not? How can he not? It's not how can this be, it's how can this not be? That's a new way of looking at it. Genesis 18, verse 12. You'll have to catch up on this. Read it all for yourself later. Abraham told Sarah, verse 12 of 18. Sarah laughed within herself. I've grown old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord at the appointed time? Say, appointed time. There is a time, you know, for some things. I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, because she's afraid. And Abraham said, no, you did laugh. You know, they both laughed. When God first told Abraham, he laughed. I haven't got time to look at that now, but he laughed too. And Sarah laughed. And God said, well, the last joke's on me. You're going to call your son laughter. Just to remind you that nothing is too hard for me. And in verse 6, Sarah said, God has made me laugh so that all who hear will laugh with me. You know, God wants his kids laughing. He wants us laughing. And sometimes, you know, Abraham's laugh was, whoa, because it was counted to him for righteousness. The Bible says he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So when he asked God, how can this be, since I am old, and my wife is so old too. But God said, no, I'm gonna give you a son. And he laughed, but it was like it was a laugh of joy. It was a laugh of, whoa, this is huge. Oh, God's going to do this for me. But Sarah had a different laugh. Her laugh was, oh, yeah, tell me another one, just like the other one. Eh? And God said, I'm going to call him laughter. Last scripture, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. And we'll land it here. There were three lepers who were starving, and a city was under siege, and they were outside the city. And Elijah's prophesying to the king, and he says, hear the word of the Lord, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So an officer on whose hand the king leaned against the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he said, in fact, you'll see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Fairly serious punishment for this guy. He said, how can this be? And the prophet said, it'll happen all right, but you won't taste of it. You'll see it, but you won't be a participant of it. Windows of heaven, isn't that what the Lord promised? Supernatural provision. He says, prove me to see if this indeed can be. We're not mere mortals limited by the natural laws of the universe like everybody else. Look at what the lepers said. Oh, there are four of them. They're sitting at the entrance of the gate and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? Let's go to the camp of the Syrians and they can kill us if they want to. But if we die, we can but die. We're going to die here. And you know the story. They went to the camp of the Syrians and the Syrians had all run away. God made the entire army disappear. And then they got the whole city to come and they just feasted on the spoils of war. Verse 19, then that officer had answered the man of God, said, now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. So it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. At some point, you know, you got to get up and do something. God doesn't want you to be a leper all your life. At some point, you got to get up and put legs on your faith. And I don't want to be struck dumb at the promises of God like Zechariah, or trampled in the gate like this official who said, oh, how can this thing be? While everybody else rushes for the spoils of war from Christ's victory on the cross. Can someone say amen? We haven't got time to turn there, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot inherit the things of the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can this be? And Jesus went on to talk about the wind. He says, you cannot tell where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. Nicodemus, you're not going to figure it out unless you come as a child, and unless you believe, you can't enter into the things of the kingdom. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there's an impartation of faith in this meeting. And I'm happy to pray for people. I'm not going to prophesy over anybody, but I'm happy to just lay my hands on someone quickly. It doesn't take half an hour. It's a lightning bolt strike. And you don't have to fall on the floor. If you're still standing when I pray for you, it doesn't mean you haven't received anything. You take it by faith. I struggle with preaching this message because, you know, I said to God, I don't want to create an unreasonable expectation in the hearts and minds of people. I don't want people doing silly stuff, you know. And God said to me, you are not responsible for how people hear. And I'm not. According to your faith, be it unto you. It's your faith. It's your life. It's your business. It's your God. And maybe I've created an unreasonable expectation in someone's heart, someone's mind this morning. Like I said earlier, faith is unreasonable. Mary didn't reason. There it is. What's your response when God gives you a promise? You're going to sit at home and bemoan, how can this be? Or are you going to say, let it be? What sort of believer are you this morning? Are you an unbelieving believer or you're a believing believer? Who are you this morning? That's my challenge. How can this be? God has given you a promise. God has given you something. And the devil right now is asking you the same question he asked Jesus. If you are the Son of God, do this, do that. Make this happen. Presumption, you know. He either stops us or he pushes us. But, you know, there's a safe place in God where we can just say, let it be. Let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. Is there anybody here this morning, God's spoken something to your heart recently, and you just kind of want to come up the front and say, God, let it be to me according to your word. Is there anybody here this morning? And I'll quickly pray for you. Meeting dismissed. God bless you. Have an awesome day of rest tomorrow, remembering what Jesus did for us. Someone say amen.